Let us now turn to read God's word, and our reading is from the New Testament and in the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 7. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 7. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be who go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon this house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Amen, and may God add his blessing and grant to us understanding in that reading of his own holy and inspired word. We continue our worship, taking this time a portion from Psalm 92. Psalm 92 and at verse 12. But like the palm tree flourishing shall be the righteous one. He shall like to the cedar grow that is in Lebanon. Those that within the house of God are planted by his grace. They shall grow up and flourish all in our God's holy place. And in old age, when others fade, they fruit still forth shall bring. They shall be fat and full of sap and be flourishing. To show that upright is the Lord, he is a rock to me, and he from all unrighteousness is all together free. Psalm 92 at 12 to the end of the psalm, but like the palm tree flourishing. I want us now to turn to the book of Psalms and to the very first psalm. The book of Psalms and the first psalm, and we may read it in its entirety. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are in it like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We all are familiar with the book of Psalms. That's been a very practical book, and it gives us insight, understanding on the Christian life and all of the Christian experiences. We can use the book of Psalms to illustrate and to explain the Christian's life. Helps us to understand. It cuts a very precise and clean path through the vast range of different experiences that any one of us can have. It's a very practical book that covers a whole range of very different experiences. And if we've got that kind of rich panorama in front of us, if we've got that variety confronting us in this book, it is so important that we have a key that will help us to understand and to mesh together and fit together all of these experiences. It's so important that we have a key that will unlock and give us a correct understanding of all the rich experiences this book contains. And that key has to be given to us right at the beginning. And so these two psalms at the beginning of this book, Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, lays out for us a very basic foundation. It sets out a very simple truth that we can take with us and use to judge our own experiences. It gives us a principle that we can take with us and use to understand this book of Psalms and what these Psalms tell us. That principle, these principles in these two Psalms, help us to make sense of this book. So what is the key? What are the keys that are given in these two Psalms? Well, if we go back to what we read there in Matthew chapter 7, we have in the middle of that sermon, we have two paths set out for us. There's the broad road, and there's the narrow way. And that's exactly the same thing that is set out for us in this first psalm. Here in this psalm, there are set out for us two contrasting ways of living. There is on the one hand, the way of living that is blessed by God. But on the other hand, there is a way of living that will ultimately lead to the person perishing. The first psalm lingers, but doesn't do it exclusively, lingers upon the blessedness of living the way the Lord would have us. Notice the way it begins. It begins with this very first word, blessed. Notice the very last word that we've got in it, perishing. The key given in this first psalm. This is the way that we can understand the book of Psalms. This is the way to understand our own life, the vital need that we have. Are we walking in this way of blessedness? Which road are we traveling on? What is it that describes us? What is the quality of life that we have today? Are we blessed? Or again, what destination will we arrive at? Are we going to perish? So that's the key that the first psalm gives us. And again, like I said, there's a key in the second one. Let me just summarize it before we come back. We're left in no doubt. We are left in no doubt of two paths and only two paths in front of us when we come to the second psalm. Because this second psalm deals with, yes, blessedness and perishing, but it lingers this time upon the perishing. And just as we started and ended the first psalm, blessed, perishing, how does the second psalm begin? It begins with this theme of perishing. And it closes with that theme of blessedness. What then is the outcome of rejecting the Lord? Are the consequences of rejecting the Lord, are these consequences only limited to this life and what we experience in this life? Do we take into our thinking, and do we take into the plans and the decisions that we make, the effect of these choices and decisions? Do we follow through where these decisions are going to bring us? What do they mean for us now? Yes, that's one thing. But do we stop to linger and to ask, what do these things mean for me later on? The question now, am I blessed? But also we've got to ask the question, where will my life bring me? Am I going to be with the Lord, or am I going to perish and be lost? Simple questions that come out of these two psalms that set the key. There are those that are blessed, and there are those that are going to perish. Take these keys with you as you go through this whole psalm, this whole book, and it will help you to understand what it lays before you. But the questions that come out of it, and the questions we pose in our own mind this morning, these are questions that are set for our good from God's own word. We're called to reflect, to consider them. We're called to think of the first word, the last word, blessed, perishing. And we're told at the end of the second psalm, what's the only solution to the danger that we face? What's the only solution to the answers that are thrown up by these questions? Blessed are they that put their trust in Him. I want us then this morning very briefly to look at this psalm, the first psalm, and the way in which it lingers upon this quality of life. The truly happy man, the man who is truly blessed, what kind of a person is he? What does this psalm give us to judge and to test our own life? Let me just throw out three or four simple thoughts, simple words. It tells us, first of all, yes, blessed is this man that walks not. The man who is blessed, what's his condition of life? It says he's blessed, and the word blessed is all happiness. It's a rich overflowing word. It's full measure that is spoken about. A happy man. A happy man with his roots in the right place. A happy man who has the Lord, his Messiah, his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's blessed. But what does this word mean? What does it say to our character? What does it say to our life and to our living? Well, we're told here, the man who's blessed does some things and he doesn't do other things. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Let's look at the broad sweep of our life. Let's examine this kind of life. What's his conduct? He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. To walk is to keep company with somebody. It's where you go habitually. His delight is not found in the ways of wicked people. There's no point of contact between the person who's blessed and these kinds of people. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Those who are wicked, who keep on attacking and criticizing the aims and the principles and the practices of the Christian. The saint and the sinner are so different. The saint walks in the counsels of God. And there he finds peace. And to walk in the counsels of God are pleasantness to him. There he walks and he finds strength. He finds rest. He finds contentment. His whole conduct is so different from so many round about that he meets. And the person who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly is truly a blessed person, trusting instead in the Lord his God. His company. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He was once with them, yes. He was once with them doing all that they now do. But the Christian now has parted from them. He is now washed in the blood of the Messiah, of the Savior, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now instead he values the company and the people of the Lord. He has no love for those things that he once did. There has been a change brought about in his life. He seeks other things that he once didn't think twice about. But now they are all that he wants. His company. It's no longer these things and these people that he once went with. The old has been put off. He has put on something new. The delight, the attraction to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he doesn't even sit in the seat of the scornful. Where you sit down and you rest and you begin to talk. And these people that he once went with, they once ridiculed, they once mocked the things that were eternal. They made light of the things of the soul. But he doesn't do that anymore. Instead, he has a love to the Lord. He has a regard, a solemnity for the things now that he once dismissed as light and frivolous. He sits down, and instead of conversation on that level, his conversation is now an altogether different level. He delights in the things of God. The things that he once did, but he's now no longer involved with. He's parted company from them. Where do we go and feel most at ease? And where do we feel most comfortable? Given the choice of company, which would we prefer? These are the simple practical questions that come out of this psalm to try us, to test us. He tells us, first of all, the things that he doesn't do. But it doesn't stop there, because he goes on to say the things that he now does. He says he delights in the law of the Lord. At one time, the law of the Lord was a restraint upon him, something that stopped him from doing things. And he didn't hold on to it. He looked at it as something that denied him and deprived him in the way that he lived. But now things have changed. Because his delight is, yes, in the law of the Lord. But notice the way he describes it as the law of his Lord. Because he knows the one who's at the center of this word. He knows the Lord, his Messiah, his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Old Testament, New Testament. We know the Lord as our Savior and our Redeemer. His loving kindness. His grace. His character shown to us in this, his word. And as we read it and as we are drawn to it, we discover more and more about our God and what he has planned and what he intends and the inheritance that he has for his people. The joy that we find in the company of the Lord Jesus Christ. A gladness that we've never known before. A peace that once we were looking for but we could never find. A quietness in the midst of all the busyness of life. He dwells upon, he delights in the law of his God. For there he discovers more and more about the Lord himself. He meditates day and night. It's not something spasmodic. It's something habitual with him. There are ways in which people's minds are filled with emptiness and nothingness. The way in which people today pursue things that are so frivolous and so empty. But here we have the Word of God speaking to the soul of man, telling us things that we need to know and need to hear. And we need to form the habit of reading it and taking it to ourselves. Going back over it and over it to discover something fresh, or launching out into new areas to discover something new. The habit of reading and delighting and knowing more and more about our Lord, about our Savior. This is the character of the person who is blessed. This is the character of the person who is on the narrow road. But you might say, well, these are only words. These are only words that you're using. But it's good to listen to someone who's gone before. Somebody who's been down this road. So listen to Joshua. He was old. He was getting on in years. He's speaking to the nation and he's saying this. This day I'm going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your heart and in all your soul that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed thereof. The testimony of an old man who's been through the wars. The testimony of somebody who's put the Lord to the mark time and time again. And what's the conclusion he's come to? Is there any lack? Is there any failure? Is there any defect in what the Lord has promised and given to you? No. Truly Joshua could say this is his experience. This is his character. And he wants to share it and commend it to others. Yes, there is a blessedness as we honour the Lord and walk in his way. And when we put him to the mark and when we trust him like that, never, ever, ever are his people let down or disappointed. The simple character that is painted and portrayed for us here, the simple character that tests us, what path are we on? What road are we walking? What company are we keeping? What conversations do we have? Simple tests that come to us day after day. But that's not the end of what the psalm is saying, because he goes on to say other things very briefly for us. Not only does he set out the character there of the person who is blessed, notice what he says in verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. What are the consequences? What are the consequences of walking in the way of the Lord? The image that is given to us is of a tree. We all know the way in which, yes, especially in hot, dry, arid countries, you need roots that go down deep if you're going to survive in that kind of a hostile environment. And taking that to ourselves, we are living in a hostile environment in our society today where there is increasing opposition and pressure against anything Christian. And there is a demand upon every one of the Lord's people to put our roots deeper and deeper into the Word of the Lord and to live closer and closer to the Lord Himself. And when we do that, this is what's going to be true of us. We will be planted by the rivers of water. Yes, the sun and the wind dries up so much. It makes things barren and empty and dry. But when we spend our time with the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are close by Him and in His company, we will be drawing on Him and His Word and His resources, and we will be able to speak a fresh word. We will be able to bring a simple truth. We will be able to display a lifestyle that is in contrast to so many round about us in society. We will be drawing from the vine. We will be drawing from the stem. We will be drawing from the trunk itself. And we will be as a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, showing things fresh, reviving, new. to those we have contact with day after day. But not only were we planted, but we will bring forth fruit in a season. Surely that tells us that things are appropriate at certain times. Fruit at harvest time. So also when the Lord's people are close with the Lord Himself, we will be able to say a word in due season. We are in company. The conversation is going along a certain path. And as we look to the Lord and lean upon Him, and He will give to us a word, just something to say that is appropriate to the way things are going in the company we're in. A word in season, in the correct time, appropriate to the situation we're in. Nothing out of place and nothing jarring. And a tree that is planted is stable and is strong. You know the way in which when the wind blows and everything comes against it, if the roots are not deep, then it'll fall over. In our society today, there are sometimes pressures brought upon every one of us. Things come into our lives, illness or sickness, a change in our circumstances. What happens to us happens to others. And the question is, how are we going to cope? How are we going to stand when the blast comes against us? Illness, yes. And when death itself comes knocking. So many people cave in and keel over. But the Christian has the strength of being well grounded and rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will keep safe His own people. We will not be overwhelmed by the circumstances and the experiences of life, because the Lord will keep His people safe. There we have it, the truly happy man. There you have it, the person who is truly blessed. But if that's the consequences for ourselves, what about others? We remember our talking here about the broad road and the narrow way. And this is the experience of the Lord's people, set out very, very briefly, very, very shortly, very, no great expansion about it, no great development of it. But if that's the experience of God's people, what about the broad road? What happens to them? Again, we are told here in verse 4, the contrast is set for us. The godly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. The wind that blows when they're separating the chaff. The wind on an evening, they'll throw the mixture up in the air and the seed falls because it's heavy. But the chaff which is light is blown away. When the wind blows, there's nothing substantial to hold them. There's nothing substantial that will support them. People will look in their life for what they've done, what they've achieved, what they've got. But when the testing comes of things of life, or especially when death comes, then it's like a breeze blowing through their life. It's like the wind in the evening time separating out the wheat from the chaff. And the wind blows through people's lives and blows it all away. There's nothing left. There's nothing that remains. There's nothing substantial for them. They've got no comfort or confidence. They've got nothing on which to lean. They've got nothing of which to speak. They've got nothing which they can take before God with any degree of comfort or any degree of confidence that for that they will be accepted by God. What a tremendous contrast that is given to us here. The way in which the New Testament truths are set out so plainly for us in this psalm. This image. The chaff which blown away. The Lord examining and testing and trying. The wind blowing through our life and taking so much away with it. And because of that, there is going to be no confusion. Verse 5. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord's people will be gathered. The Lord's people will be assembled. But there will be none of those who are ungodly amongst them. Yes, today the Christian is isolated for the most part here or there. Today there is one saint of God amongst so many others. But the Lord will gather his people from four corners of the earth. He will bring them to the place he's prepared for them. And he will bring them there and he will bring only them there. We are the New Testament speaks about the wheat and the tares. The way in which there is this mixture today. But there will be a day when that separation will be complete. The line will be drawn. And there will be those on one side and those on the other side. Go back to Matthew 25. The sheep and the goats. There will be no confusion. Who belongs where. There will be no confusion who loves whom. Because there will be the confession. Yes, all their life the Christian has confessed the Lord. He is my Lord and my Savior. And all their life long they've sought to witness and to make him known to others. Amongst this society that he lives in, she lives in, speaking of the Lord. People haven't listened and people have mocked and people have laughed and people have ignored. But such has been, remember we said, the strength of the tree, keeping going when there's this battle to be engaged in and to be kept going. Yes, there's that confession the Christian makes. But one day coming, when the Lord will make a confession. When the Lord will speak and he will gather his own to himself and he says, these are my people. And he will gather his people to be with himself. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. At the very end of 1 John chapter 2, I think it's verse 28, it says that there will be no boldness. The person who is ungodly will have no confidence when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And that word confidence, we've said it is boldness of speaking. The ungodly will have nothing to say in that day of judgment. He shall not be able to stand. He shall not be able to survive. He will be condemned and cast out. And that is a fearful prospect set here in this book of Psalms, set for us and given to us in New Testament teaching. We heard it said in that very reading we had, Matthew 7, when people say, I did this and I did that. And the Lord says, I never knew you. And such are condemned to outer darkness, condemned to be separated from the Lord forever. What a fearful prospect. As we unpack that simple word, perish, we might use it, But we don't realize what its significance is and how it applies in such an enormous way. But that's exactly what the New Testament does for it. To be cast out forever from the Lord. That's the consequence of walking that broad road. But it is not so. But it is not so for the Christian. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord knows his own, as we say, he gathers, I and the brethren, the Lord has given me. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ will do one day. He will gather all his people to be with himself. His eye is upon them meantime, as they walk and live in this world. His interest is on them and his resources are deployed for their good provision and their survival. Yes, the eye of God seeks out and fixes upon his own people. He knows the way of the righteous. And one day he will gather them to be with himself. But one day also, the way of the ungodly shall perish. Here, so many on the broad road that leads to darkness, exclusion, and judgment. There is no reluctance on the part of Scripture, nor should there be on our part to speak of these things. This is the spiritual realism of God's Word, the key that is given to us to help us understand not just the book of Psalms, but the whole of Scripture. Setting before us the broad road, the narrow way. Which are we on? What characters do we show and exhibit? And where will these roads take us? There are two ways. There is no third. And one time and one day we will part one from the other. Forever. Where will we be? Which road are we on now? And what destination will that take us to? The question that hovers, the question that lingers with us now, do we have that spiritual quality that this psalm speaks of? Is our life blessed? Blessed by the Lord. Blessed by our God. Do we know his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? And are we trusting in him? Because it is only as we know him and what he's achieved and what he brings and gives to his people, it's only then that we will truly be blessed. But by contrast, there is that other way, the broad road, where we dismiss and ignore all of these noble truths and spiritual realities until one day comes when judgment will be engaged in. And these words will stand upon that person. The ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Which road are we on? What is the nature and character we've got? Are we blessed? Blessed by God? Or are we still going on that broad road downward to perishing? Let us pray. Our God and our Lord, we bless thy name for the reality and the simplicity of thy word, for the way in which thou dost speak to us through it. And we ask, O Lord, our God, that thy word might remain with us in all of its power, coming from heaven and from thyself. And we ask, O Lord, that we might know its challenge and its application to us, and that we might know the life-giving change in thy grace as we were brought to trust in Jesus Christ, that it might be true of us as it was in the psalm, that we are truly a blessed people. Hear us, Lord, and undertake for us and help us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 90 this morning, the 90th Psalm and verse 10. 80 years do sum up our days and years we see. Or if by reason of more strength than some 80 they be, yet doth the strength of such old men but grief and labour prove. For it is soon cut off, and we fly hence and soon remove. Who knows the power of thy wrath? According to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Lord, teach thou us our end in mind to bear, and so to counter days that we our hearts may still apply, to learn thy wisdom and thy truth, that we may live thereby. Turn yet again to us, O Lord. How long thus shall it be? Let it repent thee now for those that servants are to thee. Psalm 90 at 10, 80 years do sum up. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all.